Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show, Brad Olson. Brad is an award-winning author of 9 books, including 2 in his esoteric series, Modern Esoteric and Future Esoteric. He is a book publisher and an event producer. He has been a keynote presenter at Contact in the Desert, Awareness Life Expo, the 5D events, and has appeared on dozens of radio and television shows, including Ancient Aliens, America Unearthed, Beyond Belief, and Mysteries of the Outdoors. He is also a founder and co-producer of the How Weird Street Fair in the Soma neighborhood of his home base, San Francisco. Brad, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Chris. Nice to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks again for taking the time to do this. Tonight, I'd like to discuss our hidden esoteric history from as far back as your research can take us. You know, I've always had a sense that the system we're part of is a slave system, and that there could be so much more to our lives if we were free from this prison matrix. And our hidden world is stranger than fiction. Our entire history is completely different than what we've been told. First, what opened your eyes to the world we live in?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is so much that has been withheld from humanity. And that's really what opened my mind to it, is just to study and learn and write about, speak about all the things that have been hidden from humanity. And yeah, it does go way back. In my first book in the esoteric series, Modern Esoteric, it starts with antediluvian civilizations on this earth, history of the world that we never got in our history classes in school or academics even speak of. Yet there is so much ample evidence that there were high technology civilizations on this planet many thousands of years ago, way before Mesopotamia or Egypt were said to be the original foundations of Western culture. Well, there are other civilizations, such as the one on Atlantis and Lemuria. And according to Madame Blavatsky, the 5 root races go back to even millions of years, and other high-tech civilizations that were here, when humans had really amazing abilities, too, that would seem like magic to us. But to Tibetans who still practice much of this, from a very old tradition, there are a lot of abilities that humans have latently. So that's kind of the esoteric narrative that I follow, like the good subjects that can help humanity and revisionist history that can help us understand who we are, where we've come from, and even where we're going.
So what was it that kind of first opened your eyes to that things weren't as we're told?
Gosh, I think I've known this since I was a little kid, really. Well, at least as a teenager when I started exploring new topics. And, well, I tell you, when I was in junior high, I just came across this once again when I was going through some of my old drawings as a teenager, and one of them was this gray alien in a spacesuit that I had taped above my desk in junior high. So I've really thought about this stuff for a long time, and it's always fascinated me, and always the intuitive knowledge that we are not alone and we have been visited. And like William Cooper says, when you put the aliens in the middle of this stuff, you get all the answers. And in many ways you do, because it opens up a whole possibility of then having space contact with ET races that have been here for a long time or that come and go. And that's a total game changer. Once again, that's the kind of history that we are not given, and which I think absolutely needs the story to be told.
Definitely. And before we get too deep into this, I know you recently went to Skinwalker Ranch, isn't that correct?
That's right, yeah.
The property. Tell us a little bit, how about that? How about how that was?
Sure. Well, Met a probably shouldn't say his name, but he has had property up near Fort Duchesne for many years, and he told me about it. We met on the set for Mysteries of the Outdoor TV show, and really got on well. And I kept telling him all this time, I really want to get up there and check it out. And just 6 months ago, he had the opportunity to purchase the adjacent property right next to Skinwalker Ranch, and it's now called Space Wolf Research. And I was going out to Colorado for a family trip a couple weeks ago, and it just was perfect timing and right on the way to go check it out for two nights. And I did. And I'll tell you, it's like one of the paranormal hotspots in North America. You got the Marfa Lights in Texas. You've got Bradshaw Ranch outside of Cottonwood near Sedona, Arizona. You've got the E-SETI Ranch overlooking Mount Adams in Washington State. And these things have a light show and other paranormal aspects to them practically every single night. And I was fortunate to see some very strange orangish lights that morphed into two that had a red light in the middle, but didn't come or go from anywhere, because there is a ranch house down there with really bright lights. And the next night in this big meadow where I saw some of these orange lights, then we saw people driving around with big lights, and they were looking for something down there. And the perimeter of Skinwalker is very well fortified. It is quite like Area 51 with motion sensors and cameras and big wrought iron fences. And it just struck me as either they're very intent on keeping people out, or whatever it is in there, keeping it in. So it's a very strange place, Chris. I would highly recommend a visit if you're ever in northeastern Utah. And it's not too far off the road and fairly easy to find. And could maybe set up an opportunity for you to go to this research center, which is now taking over from where Bigelow Aerospace left off, because Bigelow had had a team watching, and they set up all the trip wires and the motion sensors and the cameras, and they pulled out a couple years ago, and now my friend and his team, they've taken over and have videos, and they have captured some amazing things. Even just a couple of days ago, these incredible orbs, big green lights coming out of the ground, said we're just right in front of them and above them. I posted it on my esoteric series Facebook page if anybody wants to see it. Truly amazing sight and other things that they have captured there. So there's something going on. I may have only caught a little glimpse of it, but I'm confident that it's one of those paranormal hotspots where you watch it long enough and you're going to start seeing some of this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is definitely one of my number one destinations that I would like to eventually go to. It sounds amazing. Now, let's get to a little bit of our ancient history. First of all, do you think that the human race has always been just a slave race? Or do you think that there was a time, possibly pre-flood, that we were free and, you know, we were, you know, we had sovereignty. We were our own rulers. Do you think that there was ever a time like that?
Well, yes, I do, but wasn't quite the human race that we see today. That the Atlanteans had a high technology. Before them, the Lemurian civilization also was very advanced, but they were more advanced in body and mind. They were a peaceful civilization, and the Atlanteans were a little bit feisty with their technology and may have done themselves in with nuclear warfare and other kind of high-tech weaponry. In fact, there are these vitrified sandblast sites in the Middle East and in North Africa that the sand is literally melted. And it could only have been something like a nuclear bomb in a very, very distant past. So there was a sovereignty, yes, but they were more like an ET colony race many generations later that imported their knowledge and technology, where we have kind of come up from the dark ages and had to figure stuff out on our own. But of course, right now we're accelerating so fast because of technology that we have developed and backward engineered. And so we're kind of where Atlantis was right before they started fighting amongst themselves. So I hope history does not repeat.
So after Atlantis, what do you think happened? How did we become this slave race that we are? Was it like the Sumerian mythos of the Anunnaki, where we were just genetically engineered at some point just to be slaves? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's what the Sumerian cuneiform text that Zachariah Sitchin was working on his whole life, and his interpretation and others have seen it as being a template history lesson about what really happened and how humans came to be, that we were created with perhaps some of the remaining Atlantean DNA, which, by the way, they were, according to Edgar Cayce in his readings, 12-strand DNA, and that's what the Pleiadians and other very advanced ET races have, 12 strands of DNA, whereas we just have two. So one of the things that was described was that our DNA was altered and tampered down, plus we were mixed genetically with some of the proto-humans that did evolve on this planet, such as Homo erectus, or we know that there is even some Neanderthal DNA in the human race. So the proto-humans mixed with the very advanced Atlanteans, survivors, would have led to the creation of the human race, who was smart enough to dig gold in the mines down in South Africa, some of the oldest mines in the world down there, but dumb enough not to question authority and just kind of go along with it. And there is where I think you have all the legends of gods in our myths and the Nephilim and the Bible and stories of giants and other creatures that could have been our genetic engineer masters a long time ago. I think there is credibility to that. In fact, the one of the discoverers of DNA, Francis Crick, he was fond of saying that even though we've cracked DNA and we can look at it now, there's no way that humans could have evolved as quickly as they did in the short time. So even the founder of DNA questioned whether or not Darwinian evolution as it pertains to the human race is exactly how it was, that he believed in panspermia of artifacts coming on meteorites or seeding the planet a long time ago, but also that there was some DNA tinkering too. I think he was alluding to that without actually saying it, because he was a Nobel Prize laureate and bucking up against the system. And that's where a lot of this new revisionist history ends, because there is that brick wall between academia and the rest of us as far as trying to really understand our true background and origins.
Well, there is some highly suppressed evidence of everything you said with these elongated skulls that have been found, bones of what appear to be giant beings. The evidence is there. It's been highly suppressed or destroyed at some point. But, you know, it's always hidden, and anytime anyone in academia would bring up something like this, they would either be shunned or it would be explained away in, you know, in some fashion. Is that something that you found in your research?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the whole front section of Modern Esoteric, Beyond Our Senses book, that goes into all the evidence that humans have been tinkered with, that there is ET agenda, that we've had, we've been kind of stuck in this prison planet, the slave race, for several thousand years. But I don't think it's always been that way, as we discussed earlier. It's just nowadays it's become pretty apparent that there are controllers who really run this planet, that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are merely the captains and the colonels, that there's another general out there, and it's not exactly human. And this is even what people who have come out of the banking industry have said, is that the top bosses are not human, and it's still that way. They're still controlling this planet, and we're very much under the iron grip because we still have money on this planet. And that's what's really strange to a lot of ET races, to watch us and see how money is a tool of enslavement and how we are still so much in its grip. But in the big picture is, yeah, there's so much we haven't been told, and it all starts way back when, as you said, and includes these giants, these 7, 9, 12 foot massive human-like beings that are not quite human because they have such a big head, bigger cranium, 30% bigger cranium than we have, and sometimes their stature is much bigger than any of the tallest human beings on this planet.
And those are the ones we would have considered the gods, right?
Right, that's right. So when you look back into the Bible, Old Testament, and other older texts, they're always speaking of the gods. Well, then it starts to all make perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely. And also, when you look at the similarities between these megalithic and monolithic structures around the world, the different petroglyphs and hieroglyphs, the way that the pyramids were built, or the lack of understanding of how the pyramids were built, it all points to highly, highly advanced civilizations. What kind of technologies do you think that we were dealing with? It had to have been much different than what we have now, and I imagine it was probably integrated with our consciousness and energy, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. Especially the moving of the blocks, the shaping of these megaliths. This is one of my talks. I've got two conferences coming up, one at the end of this month up in Mount Shasta, last weekend of September, called The Avatars of Earth. And I'll be giving my Mysteries of South America talk. And speaking of the auditive levitation and this cold plasma technique of shaping the stones that Nassim Harriman and Brian Forrester were speaking of during my trip to South America late last year. And to see these megalithic blocks, Chris, it's just something else. Some of them are 30 feet tall with these crazy angles that just come in all these different ways, but all the blocks are so perfectly fitted together. You can't even put a credit card or a piece of paper between them, and they just have these angles that make no sense. For example, there's a block in Cuzco called the block of 12 angles. Why would you go to all that trouble to create a megalithic block with 12 angles on it? Well, it does hold up very well to earthquakes. And that's why many of the oldest structures in South America and in Egypt are the megalithic sites, that they are the ones that were built so well and so expertly with so much, such a great fit, that they survived, whereas the later inferior architecture is crumbling down and oftentimes is supplanted right on top of the megalithic blocks, and makes you wonder, well, why did it, how did they lose that ability to create so big, and then later on are creating blocks and walls much more inferior?
Right. Now, it seems at some point the communication with powerful entities, the communication with off-planet beings, and the use of magic, and, you know, the open use of magic, it seems that that all ended when the Romans conquered Egypt, and it seems like a new era kind of took over, where the suppression of a different type of suppression began at that point, where they were trying to hide and keep all the true power and magic to themselves, and started to enslave the people in different ways. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, it is. And this, again, goes way, way back to even the mystery schools during the pagan eras, the Mithras and the Isis mystery schools, and many others that we don't even know the names of anymore, but we're always collecting and even hoarding this kind of knowledge, and possibly even working in black magic rituals, which again came to the surface during the Middle Ages with the whole key to Solomon's key, this the numbers and sacred geometry that can be worked into the architecture of very old, including Solomon's temple. And this is sort of that the Solomon magic that came above. And there's something to it. I published a book by Lon Milo Duquette called The Key to Solomon's Key. And at first, when I read the first proof of it, I didn't quite get it. I didn't think there was much to it. But the more I read it and the more I understood it, the more I see that this is how this kind of magic transpired from the Middle Ages up. And this is the true meaning of esoteric, is that information and knowledge that is collected and hoarded by a select few. When the rest of the world finds out about it and knows about it, then the word changes to exoteric. So it's interesting how things evolve and change over time. And certainly, the farther back you go, if you can understand this stuff, into, say, the mystery schools, the more you see that they had knowledge of the human body, of Kundalini, harnessing energy, mental powers, much as we would just dream of being fully telepathic and being able to levitate, or telekinesis, bending spoons, things like that. And that's what I think at the very top of some of these secret societies nowadays, or the Tibetans still practice it. Unfortunately, they've been taken over by China, so that culture is getting watered down, but they had some preserved knowledge. So the vestiges of it are out there if we're willing to look for it.
That brings me perfectly to what I wanted to talk to next, is the secret societies. You know, basically from that point we were just talking about, the secret societies and the ruling bloodlines basically took over, you know, kept all the ancient knowledge to themselves. And that's where we start, you know, to get into more modern times, and they remain the ruling class. And then, you know, fast forward a little bit to, say, World War II. This is when we can start getting into some of the more modern things that were big turning points when it comes to the control aspect and these secret societies and the cabal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's however you want to put it. In the 60s, they called it the establishment. Now we're calling them the cabal. 200 years ago, it was the Illuminati. It's the bloodline families. It's the control grid. Yeah, and they've had quite a grip on especially the money creation, Federal Reserve, and control mechanisms to keep the human race very much in a slave state, wage slaves that have to pay taxes and can never quite get ahead. And, you know, they say America is the land of the free, home of the brave. I say it's the land of the fees and home of the slave. And the American dream can be the American nightmare for a lot of people, too. Think that coming here, you have this great chance to make money, and you do, but it's only a small percentage who ever really get rich. It's pretty much an old boys network, and they got the control network is under lock and key. And if you do want to succeed in this world, good place to start might be the Freemasons, and they work together and support each other, and many people in top corporate and government positions are Freemasons themselves, and that by definition is a secret society.
Right. Definitely. And when we go back to the events surrounding World War II and before, that is a very fascinating time when you look behind what the modern history books actually tell you what happened. It, you know, it's everything from channeling aliens to reverse engineering craft, Antarctica, and then it goes to Project Paperclip. You know, what are some of the best highlights from that era that you think happened?
Yeah, I think a book on the history of 1947 would be a really fascinating account of all the things that happened. You have the creation of the CIA from paperclip Nazis coming over here, like General Reinhard Gehlen, who should have been on the Nuremberg trial, but came here and he had the whole apparatus set up for spying on the Soviets, so we wanted him over here. And you got the MK Ultra mind control scientists, if you want to call them that. They were coming over here. They continued those projects, propaganda, psyops, and so forth on the American unsuspecting public. And then, of course, you had the rocket scientists that came over here and started NASA in 1947. You also have Admiral Byrd making a hasty retreat from Antarctica from some crafts he said could fly pole to pole at incredible speeds, confronting a new enemy with technology that we still don't have today that could fly pole to pole at incredible speeds. And then, of course, in 1947, you also have the Roswell crash, which was actually two crafts that came down in New Mexico, and good chance they collided, but we're getting it was in a thunderstorm with lightning, and then they were also being harassed with our new radar technology, which was messing with their guidance systems. So you have the crash in Roswell, and then basically the whole secret state surrounding UFOs and alien visitations. That was also the year that clammed up, and the creation of MJ-12, the committee that was appointed by Truman. And he came to regret that decision later, that would study everything to do with extraterrestrials, at the same time keeping it very private instead of going public, which they should have done in 1947. And in fact, in the headline of the Roswell newspaper that day and other headlines that went out on the wire was a disc-shaped craft was recovered near Roswell. Now, can you imagine how history would be changed if we were allowed to put this information out in a factual historical basis and then openly discuss backward engineering? But you can see quite logically, Chris, that there would be a huge incentive by the military-industrial complex to keep this all under top secret status. Even higher than top secret, the cosmic top secret is one of the highest levels of secrecy in the world. And this also goes with NATO and the UN, but certainly the MJ-12 committee would have had this kind of clearance. It even goes above the president. So this is when it all started to unravel. The CIA started getting more and more powerful, was clearly involved with the assassination of JFK. And you can make the argument that we have been living under an illegitimate government since the coup d'etat that took out Kennedy in 1963. So for 55, going on 56 years, we have lived under an illegitimate U.S. government, because by the textbook definition of a coup d'etat, that whatever government takes over is illegitimate. And that's exactly what happened. So that's when things really started spiraling out of control in 1947. And we can see the mess we're in now. And a lot of those balls got rolling in that year.
Do you think that Eisenhower really made a deal with the extraterrestrials for technology in exchange for human abductions?
Yeah, I do. It's called the Griotta Treaty. And it's illegitimate. It was not known or accepted by the people of the world, which this kind of treaty would have to be. But since it was all going top secret, they needed to feel that they had to backward engineer technology to get a handle on this technology. And I discuss all this in my book, Future Esoteric, the second in the series. Starts out with the secret state and then goes into cosmos and all the chapters in that section pertaining to all these black projects that also started coming out from this time. And so much technology that's in our world today, the computers that we're using right now to have this conversation, is some backward engineered technology in the computer chip and some of the other componentry. So many things in our world today have this, and a lot of people have no idea where it came from and how we moved up so fast.
And you mentioned the MK Ultra programs, and not only that, but a major control mechanism that they have, and it's their go-to right now, is the control of the media and Hollywood, which came about around that same time too.
Oh, you bet. Oh, they have this down to a science. I did my college thesis paper. I was a marketing major at Illinois State University, and I did my paper on subliminal advertising. Largely based on a book that was popular in the 70s called Subliminal Seduction, and going into how people are very suggestible sometimes. There were studies that were done in a movie theater where just one frame out of 30 would show popcorn, and there was a measurable response. People would get up and go buy popcorn, or a soda was another one. But if you're not really a popcorn eater, it doesn't work on you that way. Well, this is what they were doing in the 1950s. Can you imagine what they're doing today with television and even the internet being able to affect us with frequencies and other ways? And it all goes back to the CIA and this MK Ultra mind control stuff that's been going on for quite a long time.
Now, moving a little bit further ahead to today's time, you can see some of the end effects of what this whole program has done to people. You can see the zombification of people nowadays, how there's so many people who just aren't aware of what's going on, and they don't care to know. Even if you told them, they wouldn't believe it, or they would, if they did, they would be like, meh, you know. Whatever. Do you find that's the case as well?
Yeah, it's hard to engage the mass amount of people into this stuff, but the mind control on a mass level has has really become a science. Marketing is a science. Getting into people's heads and making them remember your brand is a science. Well, that's just on the commercial side of things, on the political or geopolitical front. You have these social scientists that are still controlling us. And of course, Hollywood plays a role, television plays a role, the media, mainstream media, we call fake media, they're playing a role. Chris, it all comes down to the narrative, controlling the narrative, controlling what the mass amount of people know. And this is what I'm exploring in my third and final book in the Esoteric series that'll come out next year called Beyond Esoteric, is all of these programs, including a chapter on MKUltra, how these mass PSYOP programs are able to germinate and get into people's minds. And look, when a story breaks, say for example 9/11, they have all the channels that are on lockdown. They're all bought and owned by the same cabal that are the bankers and have controlling interests in the largest corporations. They're all on message. There's a reason for that, because if you flip the channels and all five or six news stations, including PBS or NPR, are on message saying the same things, well, you tend to believe it. Okay, well, Fox says it, NBC says it, NPR says it. But with the internet, now we have this alternative narrative that is propagating. And this is what is the biggest threat to the ruling elite. This is why we see so much censorship right now and why they don't like people like you with your radio show or people like me with my books. And I have been messed with a lot too, and I know you have. And these are trying times for people who are trying to just tell the truth and get to the bottom of some of these very prickly subjects that there's so much disinformation out there too about, that it's difficult for people like you and me to really find what is true. As one CIA agent said, it's like we're in the wilderness of mirrors and you see reflections and other things. And disinformation is usually about 80-90% of truth. It's just that red herring they throw in there to steer the narrative in a certain direction that is the hardest to pine down on and figure out and then understand how these programs actually work.
And another part of these programs is doing anything possible to keep us from finding these things out, reaching our human potential by poisoning us from every angle, from the food, water, and air. They don't want us realizing that we are much more than, you know, just the meat sacks that we are, that we have much more potential with our consciousness, you know, much more things that we can do with our energy, but they want to keep us suppressed and poisoned. Chemtrails, GMOs, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. And I cover all this in Modern Esoteric because, yeah, you can argue that our air is poison from the chemtrails, water from fluoride, food from GMOs, aluminum now being found on the top of Mount Shasta and some of the tallest mountains in the world, particulate matter of aluminum, that has to be coming out of the plains. Aluminum is never found in particulate matter anywhere in the world. Aluminum comes from big mines where there are veins of it, not in particulate matter scattered everywhere. So we're definitely being sprayed, and now you got the 5G rollout, and that looks like that could have something very detrimental to our health. And they're just coming at us from every side, Chris, and that's why it's very important for people to understand what's going on and to protect themselves. And do what you need to do to be healthy in this world where we're being poisoned and this slow kill or soft kill agenda keeps coming at us with new things, new diseases that pop up, and ways to try to depopulate the world. And they're intentions are clearly stated on the Georgia Guidestones, which I'm sure you know, to keep the world population at 500 million people. Well, we're now over 7 billion, so what happens to the other 90%? I don't really know. But clearly there is an anti-human agenda that would poison us on such a wholesale basis that we absolutely have a right to know and need to know. And it is disheartening that few people do see the urgency in knowing this stuff, because your health and your lifespan depend on it. Plus, it's good to know. It's good information to really be able to digest and know and do what's necessary to protect yourself.
Now, when it comes to the, I guess you would say, the power pyramid of who's in charge in this whole system, politicians and presidents are pretty low on the totem pole. Who would you think is at the higher levels? You know, the banksters, the royal family, Vatican. What are your thoughts?
You named some of the big heavy hitters. If we're talking about individuals, then yeah, it would be those that own the central banks around the world, other people who, as you mentioned, Vatican or the Jesuit, the Black Pope, they are big players. They have an agenda. They all believe in this new world order, a one world currency. Even the Vatican is behind a one world religion. So they're just this power grid. If you control the money, as one of the Rothschilds said, he doesn't care who makes the laws. Just let me control the money and I'll control the nation. And that's what it comes down to. That's who our biggest danger in all of this is. But of course, they own the media, so they're never going to tell on themselves. They're never going to tell us the way it really is. We just need to be vigilant and do our own research and follow these rabbit holes and follow the money in the case of who really owns and controls this planet.
Now, do you think there is still a level of, I guess you could say, off-planet control, or have we just completely taken over as humans, and at the top of the pyramid, they're just so psychotic and greedy that they just keep things going? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's not about amassing billions or even trillions. They've got that already. No, it's about control. It's about the power of being able to even affect the markets, to affect the opinion or the narrative of people through mind control techniques with the media. They kind of get a kick out of it. Plus, it's where they're from. But I would even go so far to say is they might not even be entirely human themselves. Karen Hudes, who came out of the World Bank, said that a few years ago, and it was quite shocking to the community, but I think she's onto something, and I've been following this line of logic and thinking for a while now, that there is human-like. Maybe we couldn't even tell them, although sometimes you see them with the big elongated heads. Those people are still alive, by the way.
Right.
And many of them even work in banking. So they're human-like, but they're not quite human. So they think there's just way too many of us that we can't make decisions on a global basis for ourselves. And it's like the kings of old, the divine right to rule. They just feel that they have a right to make these decisions for us. And it's not the way we're going to get out of this, is by following their narrative. We need an alternative narrative to understand and circumvent their power base.
What are your thoughts on that there is possibly an off-planet, maybe reptilian or other malevolent race of extraterrestrials that are still in control?
Well, they very much are. this is what I've been saying tonight, is that there's quite a bit of evidence that there's not human leaders at the very top, the control grid. And of course they don't want anybody to know. They want to keep it all as private as they can. But yeah, there's definitely something to that.
Do you think that there it's possibly some sort of spiritual aspect to this, like a archonic or demonic control level, even at a higher level?
Well, yes, there is, and this is what goes back to the Solomon magic. There were ways to summon these spirits in this demonic world. It's been going on for thousands of years, and the humans that have sought this out, well, it's like the old parable, selling your soul to the devil. If you do it, you're kind of screwing yourself in the end, and you're selling out the human race as well. To enrich yourself, to live all your dreams, but in the end, you sell yourself out. But this black magic ritual stuff, and then when it ties into human trafficking and pedophilia, I mean, it's really dark and disturbing sometimes. An author that I published, Leo Lanzagami, he goes into a lot of this in his Confessions of an Illuminati series and The Last Pope and The Invisible Master. So he covers these dark subjects.
Yeah, I've had Leo on a couple of times.
Yeah. And we can't shy away from it, but it is a very dark agenda, and it's a control agenda. That's really what they're most interested in doing, is controlling us, the narrative, and our thoughts.
Now, one of the recurring themes that I come across when I talk to abductees, when I talk to researchers that are researching the abduction phenomenon, is that there is a hybridization program going on, that some researchers even believe we're slowly being replaced. It's been going on for years, maybe hundreds of years. They don't know how long. What are your thoughts on that, that there's a possible hybridization program that's been going on?
Oh, yeah. There has been. And if you go to Dulce, New Mexico, you're standing above one of the hybridization bases, underground bases, near the Arculeta Mesa. Yeah, this is – we can clone ourselves already. Remember Dolly the sheep 20, 30 years ago? Well, humans are being cloned now. Splice with other animals. This shouldn't come as a surprise to your listeners, because humans are doing it ourselves already. But to the question of hybrids, yeah, and maybe they are the ones who are meant to be taking over this world when there's only 500 million of us left.
Now, when it comes to things that are going on right now, when it comes to disclosure, you know, there's a lot of leaks going on, a lot of excitement in the media, more coverage than I've ever seen in my life of UFOs in the media. My feeling on it is, I mean, it's a controlled leak. I don't know what the reasons would be, though. You know, it could be that they're preparing us for something. What do you think is going on with the disclosure right now?
Yeah. It is happening. It is. I've always said disclosure comes from the ground up. We're not going to get the information from the mainstream media, from academia, from government. But people like us are discussing this, are understanding it, are putting pieces together and getting a pretty good idea of this control system. So it's important that people understand this and wake up to it. And as I said, you'll be doing yourself a big favor too, because you have to understand what they're doing to us to be able to try to prevent it.
What are your thoughts on some of the things that are going on right now? Say, for example, with the whole Epstein fiasco, For one, I don't trust any politician. I don't believe any side is any of the any of them are on our side. I don't know what to make of Trump. I don't know whether to trust him or not. I've seen some interesting things so far, but I just don't know if he's part of the system. I don't know what the future holds with this. What do you see going on with this whole fiasco?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I would love to see these cabal members, corrupt politicians, rounded up and put on trial. All these tens of thousands of sealed indictments that are out there and could and should happen, but until they do, we're kind of left in the lurch. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of Trump entirely either. I'm quite on the fence with him. I've said since the beginning he could either go down in history as the best president if he could take down the cabal and have all these people arrested, or if he's already compromised and corrupted, then he will be the worst president of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to root for him and think that he's going to do all these things and these arrests are going to happen. It's just, you know, the only thing we can do is wait and see. But the things that are still rolling right now, the things that are still going on, it just doesn't seem to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. But at least we haven't gone into World War III scenario yet. And at least we're still pre-financial collapse, which I do think is coming. But I just have to hope for the best.
Now, we just had another Space Force announcement. Now, when it comes to our secret space program, how far do you think we've already gone? You know, we know that it's been around for a long time. Do you think we have bases on Mars or on the moon?
You know, when the 50th anniversary came out, I did a story on Before It's News, and I cover it in my book, Future Esoteric. There's three ways of looking at it, humans in space. Some people say that humans have never been past the Van Allen belt, that all we've done is just gotten into low orbit, and we can't go to the moon, we can't go to other planets because of this radiation belt. Others see the Apollo missions exactly the way they are, that it happened just that way, and we haven't been back to the moon, and now we're sending up our pilots with the Russians to go to the space station. But then the third perspective is that humans have been in outer space for a long time, that probably the Nazis were the very first on the moon in this modern age, and that there are bases there on the dark side, and there are beings that live on Mars, including humans. I know a couple super soldiers, talk to them at conferences and friends with them, like Captain Randy Kramer, and he spent many years on Mars and speaks in great detail about his experiences there. So, yeah, I'm more of a proponent of option three, that humans are prolific, that we have colonized and moved around at least our solar system, maybe even gone beyond. I would say that the secret space program is hundreds of years in advance of what we have now, technologically speaking. And that there is a breakaway civilization out there, that humans have expanded outside this planet. And this is largely unknown by the mass amount of people.
Now, say in the next 5 or 10 years or beyond that, do you think we're ever going to see any of these technologies like free energy or antigravitics or anything like this?
Well, I'm thinking with this new Space Force that they're going to start showing us some exotic technology, just like they did with the stealth bomber about 30 years ago. If you've ever seen one of those fly by, first thought that came to my mind was that's backward engineered technology. That's like alien craft there. It's so unconventional to aircraft as we know it. So I wouldn't be surprised if some exotic technology starts to become revealed through these programs. And I would like to extend the hope that Trump is an honest broker and wanting to get this information out there. But like you said, we're going to have to wait and see. It's tenuous times we live in.
Now, right now, I notice there's a lot of people that are waking up to things going on. There's a lot of people raising their eyebrows to the system. With the whole Epstein thing, I've never seen any more as many people that aren't into the whole conspiracy thing just completely say, yeah, no, that didn't happen like that. Even my dad was just like, yeah, no, there's no way. And I've seen a lot more of this awakening occurring. Where do you think this is going to go? Do you think this is going to actually come to a head to where enough of us will wake up to where we're going to start to buck the system?
Yeah. You brought up Epstein, and I did mean to comment on that too. And I think he's still alive. He got sprung by Mossad, his handlers. The whole Epstein Island was a honeypot to get the dirt and blackmail politicians and get them to vote or to blackmail rich people. The names that might be coming out there could be pretty extraordinary. And it is the tip of the iceberg into the whole pedo-gate, human trafficking side of things. And of course, this needs to be exposed, shut down, and we're going to have to go through a period of mourning and understanding of truth and reconciliation with some of the alphabet agencies that allowed this to happen under their watch, and just how deep and dark it goes. And that will be what will shock a lot of Americans. So I think they have to do like the slow rollout, and let's hope it continues to keep rolling out and so many of these victims will not be doubted anymore. Because, you know, Epstein's been on trial a few times. He just got a slap on the wrist. It goes all the way back to Boys Town in Nebraska, where they're pulling out boys to become sex slaves. This is in the 1980s. And everybody said, oh, they're just making it up. Well, when it all pieces together, not everybody is making all this up, that there is some truth to all this, and truth hurts sometimes. And this is the world we live in. It's a very dualistic world, and unfortunately, there's a lot of darkness in it still now, too.
Definitely. And Brad, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come back on tonight. Do you have any interesting travels that you'd like to tell us about you have coming up?
Yeah, well, my partner Emily Infinity is in Detroit right now. She's doing the Detroit Disclosure Conference this Sunday in Detroit, Michigan. So any listeners out there, just mention that you heard this on your show, Chris, and they can get $5 off at the door. It's only $15 to get in, so it's pretty inexpensive. They got Tony Rodriguez, a super soldier, and a lot of other great speakers. Then Emily's coming out here towards the end of the month, and I'm speaking up in Mount Shasta at the Avatars to the Earth the last weekend of September. And then we have to get down to Arizona, and I'm speaking at Disclosure Con first weekend of October in north central Arizona. So those are my last two speaking gigs. Working on my next book, Beyond Esoteric, and talking to good people like you, Chris, and doing interviews, keeping things going.
Awesome. Well, Brad, thanks again for taking the time. And you know, as usual, I'm going to have you back on again.
Oh, for sure. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And, yeah, especially after I come back from another trip and have some cool stories to tell, like Skinwalker Ranch. And if people want to go to my YouTube channel, it's called Esoteric Series or CCC Publishing. And I did a Skinwalker Ranch investigation video, which we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Very good. That would be awesome. And thanks again, and you have an excellent night.
Well, you too, Chris. Nice talking to you.